This week was especially busy for me. Me and my big mouth, I got myself coaching Jude's volleyball team. Lily was on the waiting list, and she was so excited about volleyball, she rode her bike to the park by herself for tryouts. Man, getting on the volleyball team in Mar Vista is like getting into Studio 54 in the 80s. It's like very difficult. So if you don't know somebody, you don't get past that velvet rope. So I was talking to the guy afterwards. I'm like, hey man, you know, man to man, what's up? How far? Like, what are chances of getting in? And he's like, well, you know, there's a lot of people who want to get in. And I was like, all right, well, but I was like, if it'll help, if you need more people, yada, yada, yada. Like, I did play volleyball a little bit in high school. No big deal. Varsity 2 years. Not, you know, I don't even talk about it. And he's like, okay, just write down your email. And I wrote it down, took the girls to McDonald's, and we moved on. A few days later, I got an email. Hey, man, coach's meeting is blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so we had our, so now we're in it. And, you know, I think it's going to be great. Then this last Friday, the mother of my children, whom I will be grateful for the rest of my days for giving me such awful children. I mean, awesome. Just joking. Her side of the family had come in for a cruise, and we hadn't seen them in a long time. And her uncle Eric had called me earlier in the week and been like, hey, can you come in and have dinner? I was like, yeah, sure. And I was kind of dreading it, to be honest, because it's out in the valley, 4:05 on a Friday evening, on an afternoon. I knew, like, the traffic, I'm just going to get tagged. But one of the sermon is something a little different, but ties into this. So much of our lives are difficult because we make them difficult. When I was talking to Josette last night, and I thought of like the pain and misery she feels on like a regular basis. She didn't choose that, obviously. But the pain of stress of like, I'm going to have to drive in a thing and get in traffic, and then I'm going to have to make conversation. That's all up here. It's perspective. When I was able to shift my focus by listening to the Holy Spirit, instead of it being a chore that I had to do, it's an opportunity to connect with people who I haven't seen and probably won't see again for a long time. Instead of looking at the coaching job as like, I got to do this thing, I already got a million things, I got to da 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 da, I haven't played basketball or volleyball in forever, I don't really remember any drills. Instead, it's an opportunity to spend some time with my daughter and my niece, whom I love, and who are growing like weeds and soon won't want me coaching their team, and an opportunity to connect with these young women and be a force of good in their life. That's freedom. It frees me up. People say, well, you're so busy. Well, I am so busy. But when I shift my perspective from I'm so busy with all of these things that I have to do to I'm occupied with all of these things that I get to do, my mind is freed up. It's freed up. We think when I was with the family and they were talking about like, you know, they were talking about the school and the church, and you're like, you know what you should do, and talking about money and all of that stuff. And all of that is necessary and good. There is no amount of money that I could ever make that will make me happy. Whether or not I am happy is completely up here. The money's just extra gravy. There is no job that I could get where it's been like, yes, now I'm fulfilled. Now I'm the person that I want to be. Now I get to get all the things. I paid my dues and I went through hell, but now I get it. If I'm not happy now, I'm not ever going to be happy with another thing. It's only through my own work. And it's so liberating. Because to come in here and so often see so few people, it's easy for me to think, well, people don't like it, man. They're not showing up. They come, they hear you, they leave. And if I judged myself by that metric, then I would be like, yeah, man, you are terrible. But here's the thing. The man that I have become and am becoming is so valuable to me that I would do it if I was alone. Because it's so good. It is so good. People on the outside, when I used to hear my father talk about how happy he was, I couldn't get it. I thought it was like a trick. I was like, he's trying to sell us something, man. But if I do what you're saying, then I won't get to do all of these things that I like doing, like smoking and drinking. And I was all twisted up. The work that I do is freedom for me. Happiness for me. And when I get it, man, it like radiates from me. And I can feel it. The people with whom I interact. It's not all the time. But when I am in harmony with the Holy Spirit, not only do I feel blessed and joyful and peaceful in my mind, but my interactions with people are the same. That makes sense? So it's not about how many people are in here. It's not about the numbers in your bank account. It's not about any of that. All those things are good. They're not bad. But it's our own journey. It's our own journey that's the reward. When I'm up here and I'm speaking, it's going to be hit and miss. Because I'm speaking from my own journey. The things that have truth in them, you'll know because you have it in you. And when I say something that resonates with you, you'll be like, boom, right on, dude. Because the thing that makes me feel good, the thing that liberates my mind, is the same thing that does it for you. And they're communicating. The Holy Spirit is saying, he's right, man. And when he's wrong, the Holy Spirit says, I don't know about all that. That's the issue. That's the deal. That's the gospel. When I praise him, it's not because he's like, yes. Yes, I'm the greatest. Give me the praise. I think I was so miserable every morning I'd wake up and think, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And now I have peace of mind and joy in my heart. And I think, thank you, Lord. Thank you. If I went out and gave $1 million to somebody, they'd be like, thank you, Gabriel. Not because I did something for them. I gotta tell you, man. I gotta tell you. The misery and the pain. Would I give it back? Would I sell it? Even if I could. Not on your life, dude. It's for me. I gotta just shift my perspective. The coaching is for me. It's not for her. Because the feeling that I get when I'm acting in the way that I should, and I see it in my daughter's face, that's for me, man. Could I convince somebody of that? Would they believe me? Could I write it on a card? I can't. But they can find it. It's right here. That's the beauty of it. It's right inside. It has been for 41 years. locked right in here. It's just a matter of if I let it out. Man, it's so good, dude. Sorry. That wasn't even a sermon, dude. That was just for free, bro. But it's along those lines. In my history class, we talk a lot about like language and words, right? If I went to like one of my students and been like, "Dude, this class is so groovy," they'd be like, "What are you talking about?" Right? Because people don't use those words anymore. Maybe they do. But if I said, "Dude, this class is lit," they'd be like, "You're a liar," but they know what I'm saying. Words change, meanings change. We have synonyms, right? Different words that mean the same thing. Beautiful, gorgeous, Gabe, all the same. And I believe that there's a fundamental truth that the Creator has placed in all of us, whether you're in Korea, the Himalayas, Brazil, or Los Angeles. We all know that the Creator wants us to love. So if you look at Muslim religion, Islamic religion, they say love. If you look at Jewish, on and on and on and on. We know there's a force for good that has created us. You could go to the Brazilian Amazon and they have a tree spirit or whatever it may be, because we know it. Adversely, we know that there is a negative image of that. We call him Satan. But it's all the same thing. And where the Lord says, love your neighbor, Satan whispers, you can't trust them. What if they're going to try and get you? Right? So we clan up. Say, we're these guys, and you're those guys. Right? In my kind of journey that I've learned to use various synonyms. So I use meditation and prayer, I believe, are like the same thing. You're doing the same thing. You're trying to get your brain into a space where you can communicate with the author of love. Whether you do that by reading off a card of loving prayers, or whether you do it by reciting the Lord's Prayer, or whether you do it by breathing, it's all the same thing. You're trying to find peace and love and happiness with the person, with the being that created you. And adversely, so I would use awareness and Holy Spirit interchangeably. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit is the counselor who advises me on the things that I need to work on or the things that I need to rethink. You could just as easily say that he helps me get awareness of my situation. Did that track, June? Adversely, I would say that the devil and the psychiatric term ego would be the same thing, right? So in psychiatry they say, well, you know, your ego is afraid of the people and that's why you're racist. And I would say, you know, the devil makes you afraid of the people and that's why you're racist. They're interchangeable in my mind. And so as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord, who tells me to love him, which I do and try to remember to do, and love my neighbors, that's the sticking point. Because I love you guys, because you're easy to love. Love Judy, because she's easy to love. But not everybody's easy to love, and people may say that about me. They're wrong, of course, but people could say it about me. At Trader Joe's earlier in the week, I was talking with somebody, and he was saying something about he had hurt himself, he had an injury, and we kind of started talking about like injuries. And there was this this homeless woman who comes into our work sometimes, and she has a wound on her leg that is I don't want to get into it, but it's like decaying, and because she's homeless, she's not ever going to get any help, and it's just like getting worse and worse. And I kind of was just like talking about like, and I was just talking to him kind of in the corner, the tragedy of this person. And I was like, you know, because everybody sees her and is just like, ugh, because it's not pretty. But I think this poor woman's got nobody. She's got nothing. And she's not going to get any help, right? Where is she going to go? What is she going to do? But I was kind of speaking about this, and this woman who's probably about my age was walking by, and I was just talking to this guy, didn't involve her, and she walks by, and she goes, "Okay, Gabe, we get it," like that. And I was like, because being condescended or talked to like a child is like my kryptonite. I got a lot of kryptonites, but that's one of them. And I couldn't even help myself. I said something like, "Oh, I forgot I wasn't talking to you," or I said something like, you know, listening to other people's conversations or something. It was like a quippy kind of thing that was neither one of us were right. And later, I wasn't even thinking about it, but I was kind of just angry. And then I realized that I had been running this conversation in my head. Like, how dare she? I would never do that. I'm not going to walk by somebody's thing. You know, like, she came to me. Why should blah, 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 blah. And I noticed that, that my muscles were a little tense. I was kind of gritting my teeth. My breath was coming short, like squinting my eyes. Who does she think she is? But fortunately, I've been working daily on trying to link up with the Holy Spirit. And as I was running this story in my head of how wrong she was and how right I was, the Holy Spirit revealed to me what I was doing. And she wasn't suffering. Maybe she was. But she was probably suffering. She was probably angry because I said something back to her. But she certainly wasn't thinking remorseful thoughts about what she had said to me. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me and said, "Gabe, you're creating this negative image in your mind, and you're the one who's suffering." And I was able to let it go. And then it would come back a little bit. And I'd be doing something like, "Oh, yeah, well, that's, you know what I'm going to do?" When she comes over and says, "Hi," I'm just not going to say anything, dude. That'll show her. And I started running in, and the Holy Spirit came back and said, "Gabe, you're doing it again." And I let it go. And it would come back. And that's the journey. The closer tied in that I am, the more that the awareness voice comes in, and the quieter the devil's stories are. The less I'm working, the louder he becomes, and the quieter and less aware I am. And when I was aware, I was able to have compassion. Compassion for her. And compassion for myself. I have always been an irritable person. People crunching too loud. People, you know, I have all of these things that people do that bother me. Right? And that's the ego. That's the devil. Saying what I deserve and how I am being wronged by them. And if I don't think of I all the time, me, as soon as I start to think of that, the ego gets smaller, which it can't stand. The devil can't stand being in control, so he roars back. That's why so many of us struggle with unhappiness, with depression, with bigotry, with lust, with all of those things. The lust, the ego, the devil looks at a person as an object for the fulfillment of our desire, right? I want me. No consideration of them or their feelings. When we are eating donuts too much, there's nothing wrong with eating donuts. Please don't take offense if I say something that... But I want, ooh, me. I want it. You understand? It's not like we got to go and eat like cucumbers all day. But do you see what I'm saying? How dare she do this to me? My self-righteous indignation. But compassion is realizing that her struggle is just as valid as mine. Not for her. I know how hard it is. Oh my gosh, dude, I know very well how hard it is to get even a little bit of awareness. It's fleeting. It's like Mr. Miyagi trying to catch flies in Karate Kid. They're just so hard to get. And she was lacking completely in awareness. She was walking by me, heard something that she didn't like. How dare he say something in front of me? She's running this game. She has no compassion or thoughtfulness or awareness for me and my friend who were speaking. And she is so upset by this. How dare this person speak to somebody else in my presence that I don't like, that she's compelled to say something. Right? That's the ego. That's the devil. I deserve this. And we all hear of like privilege, right? Come in. I deserve this thing. I deserve this thing. And anybody who doesn't give me this thing, well, I'm going to let them know. But I realize how difficult my struggle has been. And so I am aware of how difficult her struggle is. And if I'm able to look at her with patience and see that she's not a bad person that's coming out to get me, but that she's a woman on her own journey, deserving of love and compassion, that steals away the venom of the devil. Instead of looking at me and her, it's us trying to get it done. And it frees me up. It may also help her. If I'm able to approach her with love and compassion, she may get a little awareness. It may cause her to kind of rethink, well, maybe he's not an idiot who's just talking about gross things. Maybe he does have some wisdom for me to... You see what I'm saying? But even if that doesn't happen, the freedom that I just got, grit in my teeth, that's for me. The compassion and all... The news seems like it's always bad. And it's so scary out there because we're always thinking, what's going to happen to me? Right? What if Putin uses nuclear weapons? Then I will die. The migrants coming over, what will happen to me? America's different. It used to be this way. Now it's not. I don't like that. All about us. Compassion. If you can shift your perspective, you will get the freedom. The kids asked me, is Putin going to launch a nuclear weapon? I don't believe so. But I follow the Lord. And whatever happens, happens. Not one second of worrying is going to change that. I follow the Holy Spirit. He leads me on and on. So the news is irrelevant. People coming over the border. Compassion. Compassion. It's not us and them. It's us. Compassion. They're struggling. Aiden didn't come to church this morning. He's getting dunked on because he didn't come to church. And I think I started to run the thing. This is such a small thing to ask of him. Instead of playing 24 hours of video games, he'll play 23. He can't even do that for me. He can't even do that for his father who loves him. Running, running, running. He's a good young man. He's a good young man. I got to love him. And I got to show him that it's worth coming. And when he sees it in me, he'll show up. The compassion to realize that he's on his own journey. Can't slap him around. The compassion that I would want people to have for me. It's so cliched, but it's the truth. Treat others as you would have them treat yourself. But we grow up and we go, no, that's for kids. And we just disregard the truth of it. We go to self-help seminars, and all of those things are good, but everything that you need emotionally, is already here. If a doctor gives you medication, take it. If a self-help book gives you some wisdom, use it. But the Creator has help as well. And that abundance is good and can be used and helps us in all of our aspects. If you think of, I'm going to die and that's scary, that's the devil running. There is no then. We worry about tomorrow and we regret yesterday, but there is no such thing. I'm speaking right now in church. When I'm at Charlie's birthday at Ashley's house, it'll be right now. It's always right now. It can't be then. I can't go back to see my sister again. I can't go forward in time to meet Judd. I can only ever be here. Here in love and compassion, awareness of my circumstances gives me power over everything that's out there. Because there's nothing that could come in that I can't have awareness about and deal with. And there is no end because there's only ever now. So there's no reason to be afraid. It's only ever now. It's liberating. It's good. Anything on top of that is just gravy. I'm not saying you gotta go live in a cave like a monk, eat vegetables like the beasts of the field. I'm not saying you have to do anything. I'm not gonna tell you to do anything because I can't. He will tell you to do whatever it is. And if you follow His voice, if you're faithful and compassionate, everything you want will be yours, but what you want may change. You ask a child, what do you want to be in life? I want to have a Lamborghini. I want to have a mansion. Those things aren't bad. I'm not going to yuck their yum. I'm not going to hate on them. When I was a person who used to drink and smoke cigarettes all the time, my idea of a fun time was like, dude, I'm going to like drink. I'm going to be smoking, right? Meet some friends. We'll laugh, high-five each other. Maybe I'll meet a young lady. That was my idea of fun. It's shifted over time. Not because of what that is or what they are, but what I am. If you told 23-year-old Gabe, you got to teach, you got to work at Trader Joe's, you got to coach, you got to take care of kids, I'm like, what? Because I was selfish. I thought about what I wanted, not about what we want. And as I grow in awareness, and as I grow in compassion, the world opens up for me. And when I'm in it, the kingdom of heaven is spread out before me. Whatever it is, I'll coach another volleyball team. I'll work at another grocery store. I'll take care of more kids. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Because I'm filled with the power. I'm filled with it. And I just walk forward in courage and strength in right now. The devil whispers, yeah, but one day, no. Right now. Right now. I listen to him and I take another step. And that's it. And if any of that, as the kids would say, vibes with you, then follow it. Then follow it. And if it doesn't, find your own way. Because you can't give me happiness. But you can find it in yourself. Daily, 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 daily. It'll come and go. But the better you get at it, if I started to juggle, I'd drop the balls and I would... But if I work at it daily, people juggling chainsaws. You get good enough at it, you can do anything. You get good enough at awareness, there's no level of fear-mongering that can touch you because you're bulletproof. Just slides right off me, bro. Somebody says, "Thanks a lot, Gabe." "You're very welcome. It can't touch me." Somebody cuts me off in traffic. "Right ahead, sir." "It can't touch me. Because the love I feel for myself, I would feel for them. And so whatever they do is good for me. You can only hurt me when I define myself as separate. I can only be afraid when I'm worried about another time. But if there's only now and there's only us, then good luck." Love your God. God doesn't have a time. He doesn't wake up at 6 a.m, drowsy-eyed, brewing coffee. He's always now. Love your God and love them like you love yourself. Jesus is nailed to a cross in agonizing pain. "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." And I can't deal with things about me. I just let it all go. I love him and I love them as best as I can. Then it stops. Then I start back up. I grind my teeth at my kids. And then I get some awareness and I feel love. Poor kids got to deal with life. They get sermons here, they get sermons at school, they get sermons in a car. But I'll close with this. When I went out and saw everybody, and I hope this doesn't sound braggadocious, but when I was out there and people were talking about their houses and cars and all of these things, and they're doing very well, like cruises, and they were like, "Oh, yeah." I've never been on a cruise. Not my jam, but still. I started to hear that kind of like that voice come back that started to compare, right, their stuff and my stuff. And I was like really trying to, just trying as best as I can to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is telling me. But then they started giving me compliments about my children. You can't hear this, dude. Earmuffs. I'm just joking. And they were saying, "I was blown away. Your kids are such great kids, dude. You're doing such a good job. Would a bigger house be better than that?" It's not about comparing. It's about right now, I have what I need. One day I'm going to tell you about Clara Dependall, some of Rachel's kids. It's good. It's right. We're doing well. We're doing well. We don't need to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. The news cannot scare us. The people cannot hurt us. We're doing well, and it is good. You cannot, by your standard of measure, it will be measured. If you measure yourself based on their Instagram, you will find yourself lacking. You measure yourself based on how many people are in this seat, you will find yourself lacking. But if you measure yourself by the love of the Lord, it's always overflowing, pressed down and shaken together. Smash it all in. It just keeps on pouring out. That's the gospel, dude. That's the gospel. It's good. It's so good. And I'm finally getting a glimpse. My dad would say, and I was walking the other day, and all of a sudden I just felt this peace and love. And I was thinking, bull crap. Because I never felt it at all. I just felt misery and pain and oppression, suspicion and hatred. So the idea that somebody could just be happy walking down the street. Like, you don't have to lie to me, Dad. I already love you, man. He wasn't lying. I just didn't know what it was yet. I had to find it. We all have it. You all experience it. We just got to get more. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before, Jude. I want more of His great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. A child song. Truth. Thank you for coming. I feel so blessed to be here and have this opportunity to be able to grow and have a place and people where we're doing something that feels alive. I woke up this morning with just loving it.
loving it.
Anyhow, thank you. We're going to bow our heads and close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for this place and these people. Thank you for all you have given us. Help me, Lord. Help me. Give me compassion. Help me to hear your voice, to be aware of the world, be aware of what I gotta do in it. Help me to see the reality of things, to see their true good nature. Help me to see through the lies of the enemy, Lord. Bind him from me. Keep him away from me. Give me peace in my mind. Give me peace in my body. Give me health and happiness and vigor. And do the same for all of us in here, Lord. Bless us in our minds. Give us wisdom. Give us awareness, compassion, and love. Heal us. Protect us. Bring us back next week, ready to revel in your goodness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.